The Mahabharata, Chapter 66, The Third Day's Battle. On the morning of the third day, Bhishma arrayed his army in eagle formation and himself led it, while Duryodhana and his forces protected the rear. So great was the care taken on every detail that the Kauravas were certain that there could be no mishap for them that day. The Pandavas too arrayed their forces with skill. Dhananjaya and Drishtadyumna decided in favor of a crescent formation of their army so as to be more effectual to cope with the eagle formation of the enemy's forces. On the right horn of the crescent stood Bhima, and on the left Arjuna, leading the respective divisions. The battle began. All arms were at once engaged, and blood flowed in torrent, and the dust that was raised by chariots, horses, and elephants rose to hide the sun. Dhananjaya's attack was powerful, but the enemy stood firm. A counterattack was made by the Kauravas, concentrating on Arjuna's position. Javelins and spears and other missiles flew in the air, shining like forked lightning in a thunderstorm. Like a great cloud of locusts, the shafts covered Arjuna's chariot. But with amazing skill, he raised a moving fortification around his chariot with arrows discharged in an unending stream from his famous bow. At another point, Sakuni led a large force against Satyaki and Abhimanyu. Satyaki's chariot was broken to shivers, and he had to scramble up Abhimanyu's chariot, and thereafter both fought from the same chariot. They were able to destroy Sakuni's forces. Drona and Bhishma jointly attacked Dharmaputra's division, and Nakula and Sahadeva joined their brother in opposing Drona's offensive. Bhima and his son Ghatotkacha attacked Duryodhana's division. And in that day's battle, the son appeared to excel even his great father in valor. Bhima's shafts hit Duryodhana, and he lay in swoon in his chariot. His charioteer quickly drove the chariot away from the scene, fearing that the forces would be completely demoralized if they saw that the prince had been disabled. But even this movement created great confusion. Bhimasena took full advantage of the position and worked havoc among the fleeing Kaurava forces. Drona and Bhishma, who saw the discomfiture and confusion of the Kaurava army, came up quickly and restored confidence. The shattered forces were brought together, and Duryodhana was again seen leading them. "How can you stand thus?" said Duryodhana to the grandsire, "looking on when our forces are scattered and put to disgraceful flight. I fear you're too kind to the Pandavas. Why did you not tell me frankly? I love the Pandavas. Drishtadyumna and Satyaki are my friends. I cannot attack or slay them. You should have stated the position explicitly to me. Surely these men are not equal to you, and if you were so minded, you could deal with them easily. Even now it would be best if you and Drona told me frankly your mind in the matter." The chagrin of defeat and the knowledge that the grandsire disapproved of his ways made Duryodhana speak thus bitterly. But Bhishma merely smiled and said, "Wasn't I quite frank in my advice to you? That advice you rejected, when you decided on war. I tried to prevent the war, but now that it has come, I'm fulfilling my duties by you with all my might. I am an old man, and what I am doing is quite my utmost. Saying thus, the grandsire resumed his operations. The turn of events in the afternoon had been so much in their favor that the delighted Pandavas were now somewhat careless. They did not expect Bhishma to rally his forces and attack them again. But stung by Duryodhana's reproaches, the grandsire raged about the field like a destroying force. He rallied his men, delivered the most severe attack yet made on the Pandava army. The latter thought that the grandsire had multiplied himself into a number of Bhishmas, fighting at several points, so swift were his movements that afternoon. Those who opposed him were struck down and perished like moths in the fire. The Pandava army was thoroughly broken and began to scatter. Vasudeva, Partha, and Sikandin tried hard to restore order and confidence, but were unsuccessful. Dhananjaya, said Krishna, now has the critical time come. Be true to your decision not to flinch from your duty to kill in battle Bhishma, Drona, all the other friends and relatives and respected elders. You have pledged yourself to it. You have now to carry it out. Otherwise, our army is lost beyond redemption. You must now attack the grandsire. Drive on, said Arjuna. As Dhananjaya's chariot sped on towards Bhishma, it met a hot reception from the grandsire, who covered it with his arrows. But Arjuna bent his bow, discharged three shafts, which broke the grandsire's bow. Bhishma picked up another bow, but it too met the same fate. The grandsire's heart was gladdened when he saw Arjuna's skill in archery. Hail, brave warrior! Applauded the grandsire. Even as taking up another bow, he poured shafts on Arjuna's chariot with unerring aim. Krishna was not happy at the way Arjuna met the attack. The grandsire's bow was working fiercely, but Arjuna's hands did not do their best, for his heart was just not in it. He had too much regard for his great grandsire. Krishna thought that if Arjuna went on like this, the army, which had been badly demoralized already, would be utterly destroyed and all would be lost. Krishna managed the chariot skillfully, but in spite of it, both he and Arjuna were hit many times by Bhishma's arrows. Janardana's anger rose. I can stand this no longer, Arjuna. I shall kill Bhishma myself if you will not do it, he exclaimed, and dropping the reins, he took up his discus and jumped down from the chariot and dashed forward towards Bhishma. Bhishma was far from being perturbed at this. On the contrary, his face expanded with ecstatic joy. Come, come, O lotus-eyed one! I bow to you, O Madhava, Lord of the world. Have you indeed come down from the chariot for my sake? I offer you my life. If I be slain by you, I shall be glorified in the three worlds. Give me that boon. May your hands take this life away. Save me from eternity. Arjuna was distressed seeing this. He jumped down and ran after Krishna, overtaking him with great difficulty. He entreated Krishna to turn back. Do not lose your patience with me. Desist. I promise not to flinch, he said, and persuaded Krishna to return. The chariot reins were again in Krishna's hands. Arjuna attacked the Kaurava forces furiously. Thousands were slain by him. The Kauravas suffered a severe defeat on the evening of the third day. As they returned to their camps in torchlight, they said to one another, "Who can equal Arjuna? There is nothing strange in his being victorious." So marvelous was Arjuna's prowess that day. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtarah Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Truvani Tirmatir Mama. The Mahabharata, Chapter 67, The Fourth Day. The battle was very much the same every day, and the narrative is one of monotonous fighting and killing. Still, the great battle is the central event in the Mahabharata, and if we skip over it, we cannot fully understand the epic heroes of that crowded stage. At break of day, Bhishma arrayed the Kaurava forces again. Surrounded by Drona, Duryodhana and others, the grandsire looked verily like Indra holding his thunderbolt, surrounded by the Devas. The Kaurava army with its chariots, elephants, horses, all arrayed in battle order and ready for the fight, presented the appearance of the sky in a great thunderstorm. The grandsire gave orders for advance. Arjuna watched the hostile movements from his chariot on which the Hanuman flag was waving, and he too got ready. The battle commenced. Ashwathama, Bhurishravas, Salya, Chitrasena and the son of Chala surrounded Abhimanyu and attacked him. The warrior fought like a lion, opposing five elephants. Arjuna saw this combined attack on his son and with a wrathful lion roar joined his son, whereat the tempo of fighting flared up. Drishtadyumna also arrived with a large force. The son of Chala was killed. Chala himself now joined, and he, with Salya, made a strong attack on Drishtadyumna. The latter's bow was severed into two by a sharp missile discharged by Salya. Abhimanyu saw this and sent a shower of arrows on Salya and put him in such danger that Duryodhana and his brothers rushed to Salya's help. Bhimasena also appeared on the scene at this juncture. When Bhima raised his mace aloft, Duryodhana's brothers quailed. Duryodhana, who saw this, was exceedingly angry and immediately charged Bhima with a large force of elephants. As soon as Bhima saw the elephants coming up, he descended from his chariot, iron mace in hand, attacked them so fiercely that they scattered in a wild stampede, throwing the Kaurava ranks into disorder. It will be seen that even in our Puranic stories, elephants fared as badly in battle as they did in the war of the Greeks and the Romans. Bhima's attack on the elephants was like Indra's devastating onslaught on the winged mountains. The slaughtered mammoths lay dead on the field like great hills. Those that escaped fled in panic and caused great havoc in the Kaurava army, trampling numerous soldiers in their wild career. Duryodhana thereupon ordered a wholesale attack on Bhima, but he stood firm as a rock, and presently the Pandava warriors came up and joined him. A number of Duryodhana's arrows struck Bhima's chest, and he climbed up his chariot again. "Vishoka, now is the glad hour," said Bhima to his charioteer. "I see a number of Dhritarashtra's sons before me, ready to be shaken down like ripe fruits on a tree. Keep your hold well on the reins and drive on. I am going to dispatch these wretches to Yama's abode." Bhima's arrows would have killed Duryodhana then and there had it not been for Duryodhana's armor. 8 of Duryodhana's brothers were slain that day's battle by Bhima. Duryodhana fought fiercely. Bhima's bow was smashed by one of Duryodhana's arrows. Taking up a fresh bow, Bhima sent an arrow with a knife edge at Duryodhana, which cut the latter's bow into two. Not baffled by this, Duryodhana took up a fresh bow, discharged a well-aimed shaft, which struck Bhima on his chest with such force that he reeled and sat down. The Pandava warriors now poured a great shower of arrows on Duryodhana. Ghatotkacha, who saw his father sit dazed with the force of the blow, got exceedingly angry and fell on the Kaurava army, which was unable to stand against his onslaught. "We cannot fight this Rakshasa today," said Bhishma to Drona. "Our men are weary. It is nearing sunset, and the might of the Rakshasas grow with the darkness. Let us deal with Ghatotkacha tomorrow." The grandsire ordered his army to retire for the night. Duryodhana sat musing in his tent, his eyes filled with tears. He had lost many of his brothers on that day's battle.
"Sanjaya!"
exclaimed Dhritarashtra.
"Every day you give me nothing but bad news. Your tale has ever been one of sorrow, of defeat and loss of dear ones. I cannot stand this anymore. What stratagem can save my people? How are we going to win in this fight? Indeed, I am full of fear. It seems fate is more powerful than human effort.
King, said Sanjaya in reply, is this not all the result of your own folly? Of what avail is grief now? How can I manufacture good news for you? You should hear the truth with fortitude now.
Vidura's words are coming true,
said the blind old king, plunged in great grief. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Truvani Tirma Tirmamam.